Thanks, Todd. I appreciate that introduction. And thank everyone for joining us today on this webinar titled Too Much Sugar, Limiting Glucose Absorption in Consumer Products. Now, if we look at what's trending for our industry in nutrition, and I think particularly for 2013, and I think some of these trends were starting to manifest themselves in 2011 and in mid-2012, but I think 2013 will be remembered for two things. First of all, a real move to new protein sources and consumers really picking up products that have a higher level of protein, particularly looking for plant-based protein, and then a whole movement in the whole sugar category. Sugar category in terms of looking for alternative sweeteners, from artificial sweeteners to more natural products, as well as just looking at limiting sugar absorption or sugar consumption. So thinking about, well, who is watching their sugar intake? And I know that a lot of you are probably looking at this category very closely right now because it's a very vibrant and changing category. And there's a lot of entrepreneurial initiatives going on in this whole area of reduced sugar intake. Well, obviously, she's watching it. Mom's watching it. She's not only watching it for her health, but she's also watching it for the health of her families. There's been a number of websites pop up one in particular is Sugar Free Mom that talks about recipes with reduced sugar, selecting foods with lower sugar content, and then what type of snacks that are healthful for her children. But we've seen a whole revitalization in regards to reduced sugar with new snack options, and that's one of the emerging trends related to reduced sugar intake as well. Well, who also is watching it? Well, last June, we had Mayor Bloomberg from New York take a vested interest in the health of his constituents in New York City, reducing the ban on sodas, large sodas. And this is a photo of him in front of what each soda contains in terms of sugar content. This was significant not only in terms of the publicity that's created around it, but also from the standpoint it's really been a position where a politician has taken a real vital role in terms of expressing their opinion related to the health of consumers. And this is a story that continues to unfold in terms of how this is going to not only transpire in New York City, but also in other cities around the country. And in particular, a number of consumer groups got on the bandwagon in L.A., and this is a consumer advocacy campaign that ran for some time in Los Angeles, and that says you wouldn't eat 22 packs of sugar, why are you drinking them? And this is from a consumer group called ChooseHealthLA.com. And I'm sure that each one of you may be considering your diets and related to sugar intake too. As we've seen in recent, a number of marketing sources, this one just happens to come from Supermarket News that was published last fall, shows that over half, 51% of consumers are looking for products with reduced, low, or no sugar attributes. And, you know, sodium still remains a hot button, but reduced and low and no sugar has definitely come to the forefront more so than other ones. I think all of those other ones are common to most people in terms of, if you look at most studies will show that consumers are also looking for reduced calorie foods, but there's sugar is definitely towards the top of the list. So what's causing all of this? Obviously, the trend is a dominant one, and consumers are monitoring their choices more closely than they ever have, and they're establishing goals to reduce sugar intake. But there's been a very broad and wide amount of, I would say, negative publicity or or publicity that's questioning sugar, not only just sugar in general, but also all the artificial sources of sugar. Last summer, 60 Minutes had a feature story on their program that talked about the toxic impact of sugar. And this has been a very popular story on their website that consumers have shared through social media. In addition, more recently, Popular Science, I would say a pretty credible journal, wrote 9 reasons to avoid sugar as if your life depended on it. So really, it's not just the fringe press that's picking up on this story. It's the mainstream press that's talking to consumers about reducing their sugar intake, looking at different choices, about more natural choices, and this has just exploded in terms of the type of media and books being written on the subject. There's numerous models out there showing how the perpetual cycle of sugar addiction. There's been a number of best-selling books that have appeared on the shelf in regards to not only cookbooks, but the sugar detox and the Beyond Sugar Shock. And each of you probably has a book that you've read in the last 6 months to a year that's had an emphasis on reducing sugar consumption. And this is also, again, demonstrated by, in terms of responses and what consumers are saying, ingredients in foods that are being avoided. And this is a Mintel study that was released last year that shows what consumers are avoiding. Calories is a top one that they're avoiding, but if you look at the three highlighted in gray there, they all relate to sugar or sugar consumption in some way. Added sugar, 17% are avoiding sugar or added sugar. Sodas or colas are reducing their cola consumption. And then the last one there is high fructose corn syrup, which was all the rage in terms of consumer advocacy in early 2012, late 2011, but has somewhat cooled off in terms of press, and it's more been just shifted towards, I would say, artificial sweeteners in terms of concerns among consumer advocacy groups. So why is this? Obviously, there's a number of health conditions that are impacted by too much sugar. Probably the two that get the most coverage in terms of are most related to too much sugar are diabetes, and there's a bunch of associated complications with diabetes as diabetic neuropathy, diabetic retinopathy, obviously obesity, and then brain health, which is becoming more of a hot trend in terms of consumers looking for products that improve their mental cognitive performance, cardiovascular health, and in kidney function. And I'm not going to dwell on the statistics too much, but obviously there's millions of people suffering from diabetes. Roughly 8.3% of the population suffers from diabetes. There's another 80 million people that suffer from Syndrome X, or what's sometimes referred to more in the trade as metabolic syndrome. And metabolic syndrome's been a health condition that's been widely covered and is very popular in Japan, but hasn't necessarily gotten its due yet in the United States, but it definitely represents an opportunity there if someone wants to generate more broader awareness for that particular condition. And obviously diabetes is a leading cause of kidney failure. There's a number of other conditions associated with diabetes in regards to eye health and diabetic retinopathy. But definitely sugar consumption plays a role in this. And I think if you look at supplements, in regards to sugar, it's the claim that I think most supplement manufacturers, although you can't make a direct claim, have considered diabetes as really being the primary health condition. And then obviously obesity is significantly prevalent in the U.S. with over two-thirds of the adults overweight or obese. And this is something that's widely known. Brain health, and this little diagram here is from the Dr. Daniel Amen. The Amen Clinic is doing a lot of pioneering research on brain health and brain function and the how natural products can play a role in healthy brains. But one of the 10 biggest brain damaging habits is too much sugar, high sugar consumption. So there's a whole host of health conditions related to too much sugar. Cardiovascular disease, and obviously everyone knows about the impact of that. So how is this? How is all this press and these health conditions? How has it impacted buying habits at the store level? And these data are from IRI recently announced. It's actually granulated sugar sales have hit a three-year high in 2012 with 1.7 billion in sales, and that's a 15% increase since 2009. So sugar sales have actually increased, but what's happened is that consumers are more apt to purchase natural choices when it comes to sugar, and sugar's a natural source, and less likely to purchase something that's artificial. Artificial sweeteners have the one that's basically declined. You see Splenda sales have dropped 40% in that same time period between 2009 and 2012, and then Equal, which is aspartame, sales fell 23%. Obviously, I'm going to be showing numbers in terms of the stevia, what's happened with stevia, where stevia has really picked up in terms of sales. But natural low-carb options are really the trend, and that's what's really hot right now. So in terms of when I think of the nutrition market, I think there's three distinct segments. We've got the food market, functional foods, and then foods that are inherently functional. And then another distinct segment is the supplement market, and then the cosmetic market that represent the nutrition industry, so to speak, or the cosmeceutical market. The food market has probably done the most in terms of capitalizing on this this trends towards lower sugar, reduced sugar, low sugar claims. We've seen a number of packaging changes to highlight reduced sugar or low sugar over the last 18 months. We've seen a basically explosion in stevia products, alternative natural low-calorie sweeteners. Stevia, just in the last 2 years, and Inova reported that stevia product introductions were up over 18%, and now also that basically nearly 50% of every home in America has a stevia product somewhere. I know that was reported in the new monograph, the MBJ ingredient monograph. So it's a trend that's basically permeating through the consumer base of the U.S. consumer base. Another one that's starting to gain a lot of steam right now is monk fruit. There's been a number of new introductions with monk fruit, which is approximately 250 times sweeter than sugar, has a very, very good taste profile. We've seen this being introduced in a number of new products. Monk Fruit in the Raw has come out, which is a tabletop sweetener that's starting to perform very well. Just recently, Health Canada approved Monk Fruit as a tabletop sweetener. So there's a number of companies looking at that as another option in terms of a natural low-calorie sweetener. Obviously, Cargill's natural sweetener brand, Truvia, sales are up significantly over a three-year period from 2009 to 2012. Sales are up 289%. So this gets into that other segment in terms of, well, how is the supplement market capitalizing? Because probably supplement companies really were ahead of the curve in terms of predicting that, I would say, diabetes and metabolic syndrome were going to be a really big market segment. I mean, there were a number of products introduced between 2005, 2008 that focused on maintaining healthy sugar levels. You know, there hasn't been as many packaging changes, I would say, in terms of products making any sort of sugar claims or reduced sugar. There's a few out there. But when it comes down to it, the results have been relatively mixed in terms of the sales of products. Not only has the sales been mixed, but the science has not been up to expectations. When you look at the science related to cinnamon, there's been really mixed results in terms of studies. Some of them have been positive, some have been negative, and a lot of supplement companies have been sort of cautious in terms of claims related to blood sugar levels and diabetes, for good reason. So the blood sugar supplement market, and these are Nutrition Business Journal data, they estimate the market for diabetes supplements at over $1 billion, and this is specific looking at diabetes supplements, looks at both anything in that particular area as well as for healthy blood sugar, but the trend is significantly up in terms of the growth trend. So blood sugar supplements grew by 50% over 4 years, and it's my feeling that this will see a similar sort of increase over the next 3 to 4 years. But I also believe that from a supplement perspective, I wonder if we need to be framing the conversation correctly, particularly when people have talked about supplement products related to blood sugar and maintaining healthy blood sugar. Most of the conversation's been related to blood sugar and diabetes, and not in a general sense of, hey, if we just reduce sugar absorption or sugar consumption, similar to like what the low carb trend was, where there were a number of carb blockers that were extremely successful in early 2000, between 2000 and 2005, that conversation really hasn't happened in the supplement industry. Most of the conversation around reducing sugar intake has equaled, hey, it's a claim for diabetes. And obviously, there's a certain aversion right now to diabetes claims in the industry with all the cracking down of the FDA and the increased stringent requirements. So I think from an industry perspective, there's been too much association with reduced or maintaining healthy blood sugar levels with diabetes, and not just on just reducing sugar intake or reducing sugar absorption. So I think they're the types of products that we need to be considering in terms of supplement choices. We need to focus on reduced sugar intake and sugar absorption. And there are several out there and several new ones that I know Dan's going to focus on, Benfopure. But I think from a industry perspective, we need to transcend the conversation into more than just a, hey, these are products for diabetes, that we just need to talk about them for reducing sugar intake. So with that, here's my contact information. If anyone has any questions or wants to follow up with any questions, please do so. And turn it back over to you, Todd.
Great. Thanks, Steve. That was really good stuff. I'm going to turn it over to Dan, but Dan, you know, I gave your introduction kind of on things that you've been doing in the past, and I was wondering if you could just quickly summarize the work that you do today at X-Dose Solutions.
Absolutely. Thanks, Todd, and thank you, Steve, for that background information.